All right, episode 3. Today is the day.
Ka-kink.
The countdown begins. 1,000 days to financial independence is now. I'm Em.
And I'm Drew. And we're exactly 1,000 days away from being debt-free and financially independent.
We laid out the groundwork for what got us to this point in earlier episodes, and you can check out the website for those, as well as calculators, spreadsheets, and other goodies to help you on your own path to financial freedom. Check out 1000daystofi.com or join in on Twitter. We have a very respectable 100 followers as of today as well.
Very respectable.
Yeah, well, real talk, we're having a blast with those guys, and I just want to throw a quick shout out to at the Common Sense because they were one of the very first to welcome us to the world of money Twitter. But they got us pointed in the right direction early on with others that are on a very similar journey to us, trying to achieve it in a similar way.
Right. When we say financially independent, we still have to explain it to our families. Independently wealthy people are millionaires and trust fund babies, right?
I feel like we get a lot of incredulous eyebrow raises. Look, we come from working class parents, and everyone in our family works their ass off, us included. We both worked odd jobs until we graduated college and earned our military commissions. We earned about $32,000 each coming out of school, got married, but lived in different bases, so effectively we were living on single income.
Yeah, I had $150,000 in debt.
Student debt, but yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, and you'd taken on $30,000 yourself in a personal loan to replace your car that had broken down.
Many times.
And to pay for an $8,000 in student debt and our wedding.
Which we did on a shoestring budget, but it was nice to use the loan instead of a credit card. I paid the wedding money back pretty quickly, but that loan rate was a tiny fraction of what the credit card rate would have been. Anyway, we digress. So we had $180,000 in total debt.
And they finally let us live together about, you know, when you were about 6 months pregnant.
Which, yeah, they being the military,
yeah,
right?
So thank goodness. Yeah. So that was a fast and furious introduction to family life. Ta-da. Which we, you know, we made more furious by having another baby the following year as well.
Ba-bam!
Yeah. And then the bottom fell out and you lost functional use of your right arm.
Such a bitch.
Yeah. Fast forward through all self-reflection and searching for silver linings, you got kicked out of the military.
Hooray! Yeah. So then I started a business.
Won a few awards.
Yeah, it's pretty profitable. It's a marketing consulting firm. I'm very proud of it.
And one of your clients is the fintech company Navit.
Yeah, Navit is honestly a real big passion project. I'm so proud of everything we're continuing to achieve. Navit is, so far, the crowning jewel of my business and my transition out of the military.
Yeah, you're a numbers nerd anyway.
Not true.
Yeah, but it got you thinking really thoughtfully about personal finances.
Yeah, really, it wasn't until working with Navit that I started thinking seriously about the viability of us achieving financial independence. So yeah, you're right.
And up to this point, I think we've covered the SparkNotes version of the last two episodes.
Pretty much, yeah. Other than the way we're planning to achieve FI, which we're going to break down now in more detail in this episode than we've done previously.
Well, it's the big day after all.
Yeah, well, the big day will be achieving FI, but it's the day we're officially designating as our buckle down and get it day.
Yay. And why is that day today? Besides a catchy number for a podcast name.
Oh, yeah. 1,000 days to FI. Well, yeah. So why 1,000?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we bought our house for $300,000 with a down payment of $60,000. This was when rates were much higher than they are currently at about 4.75%. We considered refinancing once we got up here, but the cost of the loan is substantial and it doesn't really change our timeline on how fast we're going to pay it off. A little break-even analysis determined that we'd only save an extra $1,000 or so, and with the time and effort that would go into refinancing, plus there's an adverse market fee right now that's being tagged on by most lenders, it would actually be a lot closer to just zero. So it made more sense to pay additional principal on the existing mortgage.
Yeah, an additional $4,700 on our principal every month.
Which is a lot. And we're going to do it from October 1st to June 2023.
1,000 days.
1,000 days. That's just under 3 years from today, and it'll be about 4.5 years total from the time that we bought the home.
Yeah, you had to break this down for me a couple of times. Please break it down for our listeners as well.
Well, it has to do with amortization schedules.
Yeah, step one. What the hell is an amortization? Is it amortize? Amortization?
See anemone? Anemone. Yeah. Yeah, don't hurt yourself, kid.
A lot of Nemo.
It's a table that breaks down how much of each part of the loan is owed each month. It takes into account the interest rate, loan amount, down payment, additional payments each month, and duration of the loan.
Yeah. That kind of sounds complicated.
It is. I had to make one from scratch using the math that goes into this thing for an engineering class.
That's why it's all you.
Yeah. Thankfully, you can find templates, though. The trick is understanding them and just how to change and interpret the data to give you something that's useful.
It's a useful little secret.
Yeah, it's a totally useful little secret. And I've always felt this way about it. Lenders don't give you access to your amortization schedule, but they use them extensively. They help the lender to keep track of what's owed and when, the forecast for outstanding balances, updates to the balance. When a borrower adds an extra payment or gets behind on a payment, it gives insight into interest at any point in the cycle of the loan.
Can you use them for any loan or just a mortgage?
Generally, any installment loan. So that means something that has a known payoff date at the time that it's taken out. So think car loan, house loan, anything that has like a start and a stop. I hadn't really thought seriously about paying off our house, actually, speaking of that, as soon as we could until you brought it up.
Yeah, which I wanted to do because paying off my student loans early saved us many, many, many thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's true. And we wanted to see how many thousands that we could potentially save if we paid the house off early.
It is absurd.
It is crazy town. So anyway, we plugged in those loan terms and we made sure everything lined up with the general data originally that the lender provided. Then we started to tinker with the numbers. We plugged in additional principal amounts to see how much the interest would change over time.
Yeah, for us, we determined we could pay up to $6,000 a month on the mortgage. We're good on our retirement investments, our emergency fund is stocked, and our 529s for the kids' educations are performing pretty well, so we're throwing a lot of extra money at the house.
Yeah, so before we really go too much further, we totally understand that's not something everyone can do.
Yep.
Yeah, there's plenty of strategies that can empower you financially that don't include paying a 30-year mortgage off in 4.5 years. So Drew's a field grade officer. I own a successful marketing firm. We both have master's degrees, and we put them to good use in fields that pay very well. But we do live very modestly. Both of our vehicles are paid off. We don't finance much. And with COVID, we have vacation dollars that are just gathering dust.
Yeah, we've lived on $13,000 a year before.
If not.
You know, we do know what poor is.
Yeah.
And we know what hard work means. And, you know, quite frankly, we busted our ass for everything we have.
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, we also know that privilege exists as well.
For sure.
You know, we were given opportunities to prove ourselves.
Yeah, which we took advantage of.
Yep. And we had mentors that believed in us, groomed us, and prepared us for the next step in our careers. The thing is, we took advantage of those opportunities when we recognized them.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You can do a lot with your own bootstraps. You can do a whole lot more if you have a friendly hand
in addition to that. Yeah. That's right.
And that's why we want to pay it forward. Because at the same time, you know, we recognize that where we are now is not where a lot of people are in their careers or in their money journey, but there's the possibility for them to be. And it really just takes a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of help.
That's right. Yeah. Don't lose the faith. All right. You can do it. Everybody can do it. We know it because we did it.
Yep.
Money is, it's just a tool.
It's just a tool. It's not a goal.
Yeah.
It's not the end result.
Absolutely not. It does take time to gain traction, but if you know the rules and play them consistently, patiently, and diligently, you will make traction.
Yep.
And once you do, you'll have the ability to reach financial freedom, whatever that looks like for you.
And what it looks like for us might look like different for somebody else.
Absolutely. You just need to make that decision for yourself.
That's right. So let's break down the numbers for what it looks like for us. So for us, our house is the last debt that we have. And when we had student loans, a car loan, and a mortgage, our monthly expenses were pretty high. You know, if you consider $1,700 for a mortgage, we lived separately, it was still probably pretty close to that because we were living in smaller apartments, maybe $900 each, you know, so maybe closer to $1,800. So that's pretty average for us. $385 for two cars, and this is for a Hyundai and a pre-owned Toyota. So if you're going any fancier, all right, you think you're fancy, huh? You're going to pay more. Student loans were another $800, if not more. I mean, you can talk a little more about that.
Yeah, $1,100.
Okay, so $1,100, childcare, so we can work and pay the shit off. And that's another $500 per week because we had two kids, plus electricity, water, trash, internet, groceries, streaming, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and it's, life.
Yeah, I mean, at least $7,000 a month for a family of four with two full-time working parents. That's $84,000 just to be comfortable.
Yep, but eliminate the car loans.
Yep.
The student loans.
Yep.
The house loan.
Yeah.
And if nothing else changes, we're looking at half the expenses to live the exact same way.
Right.
That's $36,000 to live the exact same way.
What?
Yeah. Between our passive streams of income, we have about $50,000 in annual income. Yep. That's $34,000 less than
what we would need if we owed 50 versus 84.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's exactly. There it is.
Yep.
Yeah. It's $14,000 more if we own the things outright.
Right, at that $36,000 number.
That's right. And once we own everything outright, we'll have an excess of 130% of our total expenses.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. If we were looking at the original annual expense of $84,000 to have an equivalent excess, we'd have to make $108,000.
We'd have to be making six figures to have the same amount of excess funds available to us, right? Disposable income, as if we just owned these things outright.
Yep.
That's right. So when we look at these numbers, owning all of the things makes sense for the long game. Assuming decent investment rates and accessible funds, reliable appreciation in your assets, you might fund your own personal FI, but it starts to get a lot harder with kids.
Like everything else.
Yeah, right? Families are expensive. Kids themselves don't have to be, although they often are, but traveling as a family is always expensive. Going out to dinner as a family is too. Going to the movies as a family is expensive.
Yeah, grating on my nerves.
Getting therapy is expensive.
And yeah, it isn't just your lifestyle that you're funding. As your kids grow, besides all the food and the clothes and the necessities, you want to give them experiences and let them discover who they are.
Exactly.
Which means exposure to different things, instruments, sports, clubs, trips, camps, and extracurriculars.
Yeah, we haven't met a lot of families who've been really solidly FI. There may be a hybrid.
Fibrid.
Oh, fibrid. I like that.
Yeah, coined. All right. Yeah, we should definitely start using that.
Yeah, but even then, how many got to FI and then stayed in FI? See, and that's that's why we want to own our things. No one ever complained about their house being paid off. So some folks will talk about, you know, the benefits of investing elsewhere instead of a mortgage, but like I said, we're here for the long haul, and now housing will be free. The cars are paid off. Transportation is free now. You know, we want to further reduce our reliance on external utility sources. So then a lot of utilities will also be free.
Yeah, except the internet.
Okay, except
I'm not building my own servers in the basement.
Well, even then, you still have to have access to things that, you know, kind of exist externally to you. So yeah, owning the things mean that you can live off less indefinitely. If you have reliable income streams that will meet or exceed the expense threshold, you can live like you're making six figures for less than half of that amount. If you're an individual versus a family, it's even less than that.
Yeah, a lot less.
A lot less. At the same standard of wealth as someone making 4 to 5 times what you're making.
Yeah, think of the flexibility, man.
You can do whatever you want.
And that's why we're doing this podcast, to let you experience the same freedom we're chasing. We hope you'll join us and let us join you on your own journey.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at 1000_days_to_fi so we can follow you back.
We do follow you back. We'd love to be part of your journey. We hope you'll be part of ours. We'll see you out there.